Hello, this is Amin Parker. Back again with another voice message. I'm going to be talking about the video game industry once again. You know, the long and short of it is that Nintendo and Valve have correctly understood that video games are a hit-driven industry with no single winning formula besides giving the right people the resources they need to publish their concept, like literally all other mass entertainment. How they approach this slightly varies. Nintendo's approach is to, one, create games in a wide variety of genres based on interest in the wider mass culture. Examples of this would be Nintendogs, Wii Fit, Ring Fit, Wii Sports, and so forth. And two, reduce barriers to entry for newcomers wherever possible in order to cast a wider net. Valve's approach has been to try to smooth over as many points of friction as possible between creators and consumers, even to the point of actively encouraging the blurring between a creator and a consumer. Example is, you know, if you want to make and publish a mod, they'll happily distribute petabytes of user-created mod content through Steam Workshop for free, and even give you money to integrate that content into the official game if users want it. Despite having serious disadvantages in some areas, for example, most of their users are interfacing with Steam through a OS Valve have no control over. Valve handily outperforms its competitors when it comes to features and discoverability, even trouncing a competitor who literally owns and operates the OS that most of Valve's consumers use. It is a miracle of engineering that Valve have made the Steam Deck experience as seamless as it is, given the complexity of the task. It's no coincidence that for both companies, public shareholders either don't exist or have relatively little power over decision making, which means they have the opportunity to make investments that might not bear fruit for years. Now let's contrast this with Microsoft and Sony. Outside of their initial Xbox Live Arcade offerings and their active courting of Japanese developers in the early to mid Xbox 360 days, coincidentally, their most successful period, Xbox have largely been reactive rather than proactive. Example, like, they see something valuable and step in and buy it, and then throw money at producing the thing with the expectation of continued success. This has failed for two consecutive generations now. and has badly diminished their signature franchises like Halo. I have yet to see evidence that this works in a sustainable way. At the end of the day, it's the developers who make a franchise what it is. And if you are primarily buying the IP, but are losing, or worse, actively laying off the developers, then it's quite easy for developers to replicate what they were doing somewhere else. It's not like the raw elements of intellectual property, like the characters and the setting of something like Diablo, is that valuable to consumers. It's mostly the game design, which is the primary appeal, which is not intellectual property, and which can easily travel with developers from one company to another. Their other major issue is that their parent company not only doesn't understand the business, but it is also most responsible for sabotaging Xbox after its most successful period. I think Sony once correctly understood Nintendo's strategy, which is why they commissioned a wide variety of pitched game ideas, including the signature breakout hit of their first two console generations, Gran Turismo, which was based on the simple proposal of driving my car on my TV. Numerous failures during the PS3 years have left large, spectacle-heavy games as their main attraction, like Uncharted, God of War, and The Last of Us. And they have, at this point, tripled down on the business model of spending constantly, expanding budgets on low-risk winners. However, as can be seen by the collapse of high-budget Disney, Marvel, DC movies, there is no such thing as low risk if consumers simply get bored and locking yourself into the arms race of delivering a constantly escalating spectacle is going to drastically reduce your profit margins. I would also say that unlike Nintendo, they are flippant about both acquiring and shuttering studios without any real forethought besides seeing dollar signs in their eyes. This has resulted in them making absolutely insane purchases, like buying Bungie based on the performance of Destiny 1 and 2 was simply insane. The issues at Bungie have been thoroughly documented, while simultaneously penny-pinching numerous studios out of existence. Despite their first-party software lineup having serious gaps outside of third-person action games, Xbox's only hope is either to bow out and become the largest third-party publisher going forward, or if they insist that they can stay in the console market, they need to do a couple of things. One, completely halt the business practices of enforcing 2-year temporary contracts and actually build a permanent employee base. They have massively devalued Halo and Forza as a result of this business practice alone. Two, expand their European operation at Rare and Playground Games. And aside from tent poles like Sea of Thieves, Forza Horizon, explicitly put them at the task of replicating Nintendo's production model. For example, spreading resources around a number of smaller budget games and underserved genres that can be delivered in 2 or 3 years and see what succeeds. Three, produce at least one hit free-to-play game. Ideally, the next Halo or Sea of Thieves sequel, where the monetization is based around Game Pass. For example, if you own Game Pass, you always get access to season passes no matter what platform you are on. If you don't, you pay for each one. I don't think the current Game Pass model of rotating single player third party titles actually work. We already know completion rates for these games are low. And most users already have some combination of a massive backlog or a couple of gigantic service games they spend most of their time on. I think the only way of growing and sustaining Game Pass is to get a couple of big first-party games on there. Make Game Pass a no-brainer option. If you plan to play even one of them and then slowly reduce the third-party offerings on Game Pass over time, post-Activision acquisition, Microsoft's first-party offerings should easily be enough to mostly carry Game Pass, provided they learn their lessons. And four, invest in building a marketing presence and supply chains outside of the US and the UK. Whoever has been responsible for Xbox marketing to date should simply never be used again. The lack of any established presence in international markets has meant that only games from the Xbox 360 generation basically eradicated and eventually evaporated instantly. Sony are probably locked into their current trajectory until a high-profile flop shakes them out of it. But regardless, they will continue to reduce the gap between the PlayStation and the PC releases. Just look at Sony's marketing budgets for the reason why. No sane company will look at those numbers and say, yes, let's continue to spend tens of millions of marketing budget advertising a game to one set of consumers only, but arbitrarily relenting later and quietly dumping the game onto a market of about the equal size. Sony's advantage is that they have basically won the little small battle between PlayStation and Xbox because of Xbox mistakes. So they will reap the benefits of being the only home console in most markets, and thus get support from 99.9% of the third parties. In a sane world, this would appease the shareholders, but it's not. So they will probably react in some way to the fact that almost the entire streaming industry is oriented around Steam and the PC primarily. And any current barriers to entry on PC would be destroyed overnight if Valve started selling a TV device. Sony's other potential issue is that high-profile Japanese publishers simply cannot ignore the Nintendo Switch. Because basically, Nintendo owns the Japanese market now. And they pretty much own most Asian markets as well. So Japanese third-party games may have become primarily developed for Nintendo Switch. And Nintendo Switch successor. If that is the case, then any power advantage that the PS5 has is rendered meaningless, because vast swatches of the market, 99% of the indies and 99% of the Japanese developers, will be delivering the same games on a Nintendo device. That's all I got for this one. My name is Amin Parker, and until the next voice message, peace.